Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. This is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. I'm Tammy Banglu. I'm here with my co-host, Damon Azali. We're opening up the hour today with Baye Adolfo Wilson, co-founder of the National Hip Hop Political Convention, as it prepares to get underway this Wednesday in Newark, New Jersey. In the middle of the hour, we'll discuss the reactionary bills now pending in Congress, entitled, quote-unquote, the North Korean Human Rights Act of 2004 and the North Korean Freedom Act of 2003. And we'll talk to the coordinator of an upcoming delegation to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea as they're organizing work for peace and unification on the peninsula. We'll close off the hour with another side of the debate brewing in East Los on how to address the lack of educational facilities and the upcoming LAUSD decision on the placement of a new high school in East Los Angeles. We'll be right back.
Had to watch my back, my front, my side too. When it came to getting mine, I ain't trying to argue. Sometimes I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for you. Hip-hop, you the love of my life, and that's true. And that's when true. I was handling the shit I had to do, it was all for you. From the door, from the door. Speaking through, you're getting paper on tour for you. From the start, thought was down by law for you. Used to hit a every corner store wall for you. We ripped shit and kept it hardcore for you. I remember late night, steady rocking the mic. Hip-hop, you the love of my life. So tell the people like that, sure. And it sounds so, it sounds so. Hip-hop, you the love of my life. We about to take it, y'all. I was speaking to my God.
All right, so upcoming on June 16th through 19th of this week is the National Political Hip-Hop Convention in Newark, New Jersey. And it's setting up with the purpose of a national hip-hop gathering of the generation to vote on, adopt, and endorse a political agenda for the hip-hop generation. And the goals of the convention is, one, to develop a political agenda for the hip-hop generation, and two, developing the leadership within that generation. So with us is Baye Adolfo Wilson, who's the National Hip-Hop Political Convention co-chair and the project director of the Museum of African American Music, coming soon to Lincoln Park District in Newark. Welcome, Baye.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. Welcome to Los Angeles. Well, you know, I was, just gave our listeners a bit of a rundown on the purpose and the goals of the convention. Could you just elaborate a bit on the strategy and talk about the means to which you're hoping to accomplish the goals, and what can people expect to find at the convention this week?
Well, the convention starts on Wednesday, and we've been organizing for this convention for the last year. We felt that, just like there's a Democratic Party convention and a Republican Party convention, that we should have our own convention. And rather than it be about endorsing a particular candidate, we felt it was important to endorse a political agenda, one that we can use for advocacy, for organizing, mobilizing, for direct action. And so our strategy is really based on prioritizing the needs most important to the hip-hop generation. You know, every election year, politicians come through with making promises, but what the agenda will do is give us the capacity to make an evaluation on whether or not someone is really committed to us based on the political agenda that we've done prior to them even running for office. So for us, it's really about developing a priority list of issues so that we can have our own foundation, our own structure, our own movement. I think the other thing that's most important about the National Political Convention is that it's organized by young people. You know, primarily most people organize the convention are between 18 and 35. And this is something, the first time that this happened for us. This is sort of a coming of age of the hip-hop generation, and using the strategy and tactics of the civil rights movement and the women's movement, and sort of consolidating them and using them in a sort of a contemporary way, but adding a cultural component, which is very important to the hip-hop generation.
Hey, this is Damon. Mm-hmm. Good to talk to you. I have a question around kind of the agenda in terms of the political spectrum, because when we talk about hip-hop, we have you know, from all over the place. So we talk about, in terms of women's rights, we talk about Eminem. And Eminem, who talks about having his girlfriend in the trunk of a car. And then you have The Coup, who talks about, you know, women of color leading the revolutionary movement. Same thing if you go like a 50 Cent or a Dead Prez or whatnot. So one, to see what you thought about and what kind of, like, what you put into basically account for this large spectrum of what hip-hop is and how to focus in to the more progressive, the more human rights, civil rights-oriented.
Well, we started organizing from the convention by reaching out to activists around the country, activists who have been doing hip-hop, using hip-hop as a tool for organizing, and who came from different respective movements and organizations, whether they were around gender, sexual orientation, around political prisoners, or reparations. We sort of reached out to the activists who have been doing using hip-hop as a tool. And we developed that activist space prior to using the sort of artist space. I mean, one thing about hip-hop is that hip-hop culture is more than just sort of the artists that that perform, but it's also about the broader culture. So we reached out to people who felt that they were a part of the culture, who our organizing strategies resonated with them. And that's how we developed our base. So we have activists organizing for the convention from Chicago, Oakland, L.A., Boston, Atlanta, New York, from all over the country. And that's what gave us our sort of political ideology, or political strategy rather than ideology. And from that is when we began reaching out to artists. So it really sort of started with using organizers and activists as a central component of developing a sort of hip-hop political movement, and then branching out to the artist community. And that's why sort of our strategy is coming out progressive.
Okay, so it's basically it's the people who are on the ground that are helping shift kind of what the artists are doing.
Well, it's also because we're developing a political agenda, so the artists are the ones who are prioritizing the issues. It's not, I mean, the activists are the ones who are prioritizing the issues, not the artists. So if the people who are in communities, you know, all across America who are saying these are our priority issues, it's not sort of artist-driven priority issues, but community activists, community organizers, ordinary, everyday people who are developing the issues and prioritizing them. And that's why it's coming out different than if, say, you know, 50 Cent or Eminem prioritize the issues.
Well, in terms of, you know, I mean, building on this, I'm looking at the agenda, and could you talk a little about who you're expecting to come? I mean, there's a dialogue between the hip-hop generation and the civil rights generation, and how you envisioning that in terms of, you know, some of Damon's favorite is the one on reparations, and how can I give...
Well, you have to say it right.
Yeah, the schedule.
Yeah.
Well, I ticked out some of the things that I thought were really good in terms of how you don't really hear the hip-hop generation talk about. My favorite one is why we don't have any money, reparations, gentrification, and your bad credit.
Yeah. Oh, you can't say the other word.
Yeah, there's another word in there. Also with that, you have a workshop on understanding questionable U.S. foreign policy in terms of Haiti, Vieques, Cuba, Palestine, Iraq. Is the drug policy the new Jim Crow, which Graham Boyd, who we had on the show last year, you know, he wrote a lot about that.
Yeah. I mean, but on the same is that the conscious element of hip-hop is a pole within the larger hip-hop world. Mm-hmm. So how do you hope to expand that pole and to help give direction and build the overall movement, bring some clarity and focus to the politics of the overall movement?
Well, like I said, one of the ways, there's a couple of strategies. Our main strategy is that we took the organizing model of the Million Man March. The Million Man March had these groups called the local organizing committees, which were the local community-based groups that did organizing for the Million Man March. And they were in cities all across the country. We took that organizing model and we applied that for the convention. So when we first started organizing for the convention, we reached out to, like I said, the activists, the artists, the organizers, the people who have been doing the sort of progressive political movement in their communities prior to the convention. So a lot of people have experience, expertise, you know, phenomenal organizers from Oakland, like I said, Chicago, all over the country. And we're taking that skill set, this network, those databases of progressive artists who have been doing this phenomenal work across the country, and they were funneling it into sort of one activity, which is the National Hip Hop Photo Convention, and then it's going to go back out. But what's happening is in that process that we're developing relationships, we're expanding our network, and we're going to, and we're trying to develop the muscle so that the issues that are important for the hip hop generation that are prioritized by the attendees and the delegates at the convention, those are issues that we can respond to and be progressive and progressive in terms of organizing around. So we're not, so it's not like a reactive response to the issues that are out there. We're priority issues so that we can aggressively go out after them. And part of it is using essentially a political infrastructure that's developed by the convention to implement the goals of the implement the agenda of the convention.
So, in the purpose of when you were what's on the website in terms of the purpose of the convention is basically to use hip hop as kind of a rallying cry to basically mobilize and organize young folks to get involved in electoral politics.
Yeah.
Which I would assume is around stuff, particularly coming up in November, which is one of the.
But no, I think November is obviously this is probably one this is the most important election of my lifetime, and I think for a lot of people who have been organizing on the hip hop generation that who are in their 20s and 30s that this is this is a very critical time in history and present day and there's a lot of things. Continuing to have for our lives to continue the way they're continuing now with the policies that are running our lives is very dangerous for us in the United States as well as globally. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is organize and prioritize issues that are important to us as opposed to letting someone else sort of dictate that for us. But I think sort of the other sort of critical point around using hip-hop as a rallying cry is that for a lot of people, all they have is hip-hop. I mean, I grew up, as an adolescent and in my teen years during the Reagan-Bush era, and, we didn't have, funding for class, funding for arts and music and all this, and all the things that sort of give you a complete shaping as an adolescent, as a teenager. And, and hip-hop was that for me. Hip-hop became, my voice, my, how you develop, assertiveness or aggression or just even how you understand life. And it could be in a good way or it could be in a bad way. And presently, I think in most of, on radio and on most television, on radio and on music videos, it may come off as being in a bad way. But there's a fullness and a complexity in hip-hop that you can sort of take out of it what you need and discard the stuff that you don't want, that you can't use.
And sometimes we got to discard a lot.
Yeah, and so what we're trying to do is take what we need. And one of it is using the infrastructure, the music industry. When we first started organizing for the convention, we couldn't go to the Democratic Party and say, give us your database of young people of color between 18 and 35, because they didn't have one. Right. The Republican Party didn't either. But when we reached out to the music promoters who were promoting hip-hop shows, they're like, oh, yeah, our database is 75,000. You can have it. And so, the music industry and hip-hop culture had within it an infrastructure that allowed instant communication, that knew the sort of pulse of what people were listening to, and it was diversified. You can go to a promoter who promotes just hip-hop socially conscious shows, who just promote Dead Prez and The Coup and Tyler Kweli or whomever, and that's what they do, and they sort of become specialized in doing the conscious hip-hop shows, which is actually my background. And then you have the ones who do the mainstream shows. And so that complexity in terms of young people of color doesn't exist within the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And so the place that it existed was within the music industry, and that's why we had to sort of use hip-hop and hip-hop culture to organize because, no one else is paying us any attention.
A couple of things you say just resonate. I think when I think about hip hop, I think of it very much as blues, back in the 20s and 30s. It came out of a very specific time and place. And like you mentioned, in, the late 70s, early 80s, out of New York, hip hop came out of that, without the arts programs, et cetera, people plugging in turntables into the lamppost. One thing that I think also when you're talking about how it's a broader thing, because.
You're talking about poets?
I'm talking about in terms of actually hip-hop as a media to basically get across to a lot of different people. So when you look at the difference that I see between kind of hip-hop and blues is because basically hip-hop, you have, it touches multinationalities, right? Mm-hmm. You look in Daly City and you have, you know, a whole bunch of Filipino cats who are up there, you know, who are like world-renowned turntablists. Mm-hmm. It brings all these things together. So one of the questions that I have is, since it touches all these different national groups, both, you know, I would say inside the United States, but then also outside, what are those issues that you're talking about that link those? Because, you know, each of them have each group has a particularity, but there's certain things that, you know, working class Filipinos and, you know, immigrants from Mexico who listen to hip hop have in sense. So what are some of those issues that you're putting out there?
Well, I guess he's talking about in terms of U.S. policy and the U.S. government. I mean, I think part of it is that a lot of the problems that are global start in the United States. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is organize people who are in the United States to see if they can affect change in terms of challenging questionable U.S. policy. I mean, I think that the complexities of what you're suggesting in terms of, like, hip-hop is global, and there's sort of people who are in like say in Cuba or in South Africa, who are in Ghana, who claim hip hop in a way that, like, I am hip hop, and they're like, I did a show in the Cape Flats in Cape Town, and, like, you know, we took J-Ru, the damage of the artist, out there to perform, and I was amazed because, like, they knew all the words to, like, his 1994 songs, and I'm like, I don't even know all
the words. Right.
I didn't know when they came out, but they knew all the words, and he was, like, 15-year-old. I'm like, how old were you back then? Like, how did you know all the words to his songs? So the global impact of hip-hop is astounding, and it's very powerful, and so we're trying to tap into that in a way that gives us sort of agency, that gives us capacity, and allows us to speak to different people in different ways. But, you know, in some parts of this, you know, being U.S. citizens, being in America, that we have to sort of deal with the problems that confront us on a daily basis. Not saying these other problems don't, but, you know, having the capacity to change or participate in changing the problems that exist here, I think is a step that we can take. Now, and that's what we're trying to do.
Which is right on point. And then the other thing that you were talking about earlier in terms of trying to hone in on the elections and have a political agenda is November is, you said, one of the most important elections of your life, right? I mean, it's clear all the way across the world, whether you're in Watts or in Brooklyn, or you're in Cuba or South Africa or North Korea, you name it, everybody's talking about how you're going to get rid of Bush. So in terms of this political convention, and you said that it's neither the Republican or the Democratic Party, but clearly one of the central issues is how to get rid of Bush. And so in that case, what are the different things that the convention will be advocating in terms of the strategic vote for Kerry or the building of a third party or what else?
So the convention's function is a 501c3 project.
We get that a lot.
Put that out there right now. But I think that I think our organizing strategy speaks for itself in terms of who we're organizing and how we're going about it. And I think that's really where we're trying to prioritize the issues. And we're reaching out to people who have historically organized in different spaces, like I said, around issues such as, questionable U.S. policy. I mean, if you look at the workshop titles, I mean, there's another one in there called, how to get super white men out of office, which is organized by the League of Pissed Off Voters. So there's a whole lot within the convention that's based on the issues that allows for us to take the substantive stuff of the convention program and then use that for implementation of an agenda. I mean, the way that the convention is formatted is that the first day of the convention is a youth summit, June 16th, which is Wednesday, and it's Tupac's birthday. We're talking to young people about how to begin to do grassroots organizing, community organizing, in their respective communities, and so how to use hip-hop as a tool for change and how to prioritize these issues in your life. The second day of the convention is an intergenerational dialogue between the civil rights generation and the hip-hop generation, in terms of building bridges, learning from experiences, but really trying to to figure out how to maximize the resources and the experience of the civil rights generation, as well as the creativity and the energy of the hip-hop generation to build sustainable change. The third day of the convention is the Issues Day. There's about 36 to 40 workshops and panels on that day, which cover everything from reparations, justification, your credit, 9-1-1 is a joke, health disparities in the communities of color, women in politics, LGBT.
Gay rights is human rights.
I mean, it's a whole host of issues that are framed in a way that speak to the hip-hop generation in contemporary language that people can get, that has humor, but that also has direct politics. And then the final day is the vote. So after sort of going to the youth summit, going to the intergenerational level, listening to all these discussions, we're sort of developed a process to the vote. And the vote is June 19th, which is Juneteenth. So the convention is from Tupac's birthday to Juneteenth.
Mm.
So why don't you tell us a couple of things? I know a lot of people won't be able to make it if they haven't heard about it now, but how to basically get in contact with stuff around the follow up, and then if there's any, because I know there's stuff based on local chapters.
Well, the convention, the convention vote is a vote on the issues, but it's also a vote on the next steps. During the state caucus meetings on Friday night, the state caucus come up with the agendas, and then, Friday night, we sort of hone those agendas in as well as the next steps, and then sort of the national vote on the next steps. On the website, which is www.hiphopconvention.org, there's a list of all the coordinators from around the country who are ahead of the LOCs, and there's, for Los Angeles, there's, Biko and L.A. Nevins, who are the head people in L.A., and they're sort of the coordinators, the local organizers, committee coordinators for Los Angeles. And you can reach out to them. Their information is on the website. Also, the convention the phone number is 973-623-7711. At the convention, once we come up with these agenda next steps, then we're gonna organize for implementation of those next steps, and that's what the platform process is about.
And that's gonna be on the website then.
That's gonna be the next steps that everyone votes on will be on the convention website. The website is gonna change from organizing for the convention to developing organizing strategies, listing strategies. There's an organizer's toolkit already, but we're going to continue to develop the organizer's toolkit so that people can take the political agenda and do organizing in their own communities. And one of the sort of challenges that we feel is really important that we need for folks and everyone needs to take the initiative. So we develop a political agenda, and it's a national political agenda with state and local agendas, but in order for it to be effective and be implemented, folks around the country have to make this a priority in their lives. And I know it's really difficult given the economy, given how scarce resources are.
Let me give you the website one more time.
www.hiphopconvention.org.
And we're actually going to have some folks from the LA chapter once they come back on the radio. So
okay.
we'll be keeping up with you. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with Voices from the Front Lines.